Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is our 222nd episode. I'm sorry, 222nd episode. And this is Stephen Zimmer coming to you live out of Central Kentucky. And tonight I have some awesome surprises for you because I have not one, but two co-hosts that you may not have been expecting tonight. One is making her debut as an official member of our co-hosting group. And that, of course, is the wonderful, awesome author, YouTuber, and spectacular individual that she is, R.G. Westerman. And she is coming to you out of this fine bluegrass state of Kentucky as well. And then coming to you out of a little farther west, joining us tonight at the last minute. Want to thank him for joining us tonight, and I'll explain why in a second. But Tommy B. Smith, a Star Chamber show favorite. And there he is. I see him in the chat room, too. He's doing double duty tonight. So welcome, Tommy.
Hello there. Yeah, it's good to be back.
But Holly had a surprise, a curveball thrown at her because her fine son Noah and his better half Ellen were coming from Atlanta to visit, and they were picking up a couple of young fellows that more or less Holly had a hand in raising as well growing up, and they are moving all down to Atlanta, so they were picking them up from Indiana, and they only had one night to visit, and we thought it was going to be tomorrow, which I'll tell you what tomorrow is in a second, but they decided to change the plan due to the trailer rental, so they could only come in tonight. So Holly, we had Tommy graciously agreed to come in tonight so that Holly could visit with her son. So that is a nice, heartwarming solution for all. So thank you very much.
Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
I said it. So he's the Holly stand-in. Is that what you're saying?
Tommy has stepped in several times, and of course he's always going to be a guest as well. But he's like the super rescue host, you know, that whenever we run into big trouble, he usually dives in and helps us out. And of course he always has, you know, some of the best insights and comments and questions that around. So I mean, he's always a top contributor.
I'll try to be Holly tonight.
It's so, yeah. Well, you have to be really loud and drink a lot of wine.
Yeah, that's
just the right shade of lipstick there, Tommy.
I'm
sure
she's deaf. Yeah, I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. But now remember, though, I told you just before the show, you have a license to misbehave beginning at midnight Eastern time, because tomorrow is my birthday. And, I guess we could start early.
Excellent.
But if anybody gives you trouble, you just say, oh, well, you know, I have to celebrate because it's Stephen's birthday. So it's like a 24-hour I don't know what the right word is, license to misbehave a little bit. So.
So the cops pulled me over. Just, hey, back up. It's Stephen Zimmer's
exactly.
birthday, right?
Yeah,
and they
right.
will take care of you, I'm sure. So they will not give you any trouble. But I don't know. It's my 629th birthday, so I've had a few. But don't know yet what I'm going to do tomorrow. But there will be a glass or two of bourbon consumed, I'm sure, at some point. And I think my sister's going to roll by. And it's not quite the as much fanfare as I had in my younger days on birthdays, you know, but it's going to be hopefully a relaxing day at least. So I'm eager for that. And of course, rolling it, you know, my birthday's always kind of rolled into the holidays, you know, with the July 4th thing. So it's beginning of a couple days of festivities at least. So, and I hope you all have some good plans to at least relax this weekend and have some fun too. So, because I know we all need a break these days.
Definitely.
But I'm
over here brushing off my apocalypse bingo card.
You're
what are
right.
we up to now? There's like flying snakes now or something. I saw a headline about it.
Well,
yes,
every day
that.
Usually
just
brings some new
position.
Surprise.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Stephen,
so
I don't think
murder hornets,
like that
flying snakes.
Is
what's that, Argy?
I said, I don't think I realized our birthdays were this close. I just had mine last week.
That is awesome. Oh. That is awesome. And
yeah.
we should have celebrated it on the show. Was it last Wednesday?
Like,
what day was it?
All those bar hopping times. Let's see. It was the 28th. So what that would have been. I don't even know. If I don't have a calendar in front of me, I can't calculate it. I want to say
that would have been Tuesday.
Tuesday. Okay.
Last
no.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
That
no.
would have been
belated.
Sunday.
So
I'm sorry.
Okay.
My calendar was actually
on
July.
Well, I'm 29,
yeah.
so.
Well, belated happy birthday to you as well, then. That is fantastic. So I guess
yes,
we'll have to take an additional license so we can have an extra day to misbehave now. So that's good.
That's right.
We're going to do some retro gaming. Tommy's got my retro gaming in my brain because Holly had posted something on Facebook that asking about what are people's original game systems, and I had posted a ColecoVision controller, I believe, which is my first game system, and Holly had under Holly's post, Tommy chimed in and mentioned that he was familiar with the original Magnavox Odyssey gaming system. Now that is really old school. That is awesome, and so he actually found some working ones on eBay. So I'm tempted
wow.
to. Well,
yeah,
I don't have any money to blow
between,
on it right now. But.
That's some
I think that was my first one played, but that was my first one owned was actually an Atari, and then we had a ColecoVision sometime after that. But and I don't remember, but of course the arcades were booming at that time, so I played, you know, in the arcades as well. But you know, that was all you know, taking off at that time. That was so.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember
the
first.
You know?
I remember the first Pong units that came out, where you just played, you know, the game Pong,
yep.
and pretty much just knocked a little dot back and forth. And that was everybody thought that was pretty fancy. And then all the neighborhood kids, the cool kids, all got the Atari 2600. That was more or less my first exposure to like a lot of console games. And some people were getting Atari 400s, and I think one friend of mine did actually have a Magnavox Odyssey system. But then the television came in as well for Mattel, and I remember those used to drive me crazy. Those little thumb disc controllers, they didn't have joysticks. They just had these little discs, and you'd kind of roll your thumb over them, control them that way. And those were always a headache to play. And then as Tommy said, the mighty ColecoVision came in. I thought, graphically at least, that definitely the best of those consoles. And then the whole game industry imploded. And it was kind of a little bit of a gap between that and the Nintendo. Things just kind of fell through the floor, and then the Nintendo came out a couple of years later, and things obviously are history since then. But that was a good time, as Tommy said. Yeah, the arcades and blowing through quarters, or in many cases you'd buy tokens. You put a dollar or two in and get a bunch of tokens at an arcade, and the good players would usually attract a crowd, and then people would gather around and watch them. And yeah, those are fun times. I remember those, going to the mall and playing all that. Yeah, definitely not as complex as the games of today, but still, part of video game history for sure, that can never be ignored. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And
you were playing video games, but you were still socializing with actual humans there.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes, that's true. And when a crazy... Oh, go ahead, Tommy.
Oh, I was just going to say, you had actual people in the room with you playing games with you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you had, like in my case, you know, when I got a ColecoVision, my friends down the street still had an Atari. They were coming over to my house to play Coleco because, you know, that was the newest state-of-the-art game system at the time, until they came out with the Nintendo and what have you.
Right.
But, in the arcade,
well,
of course, the arcades were just jam-packed a lot of the time back then. So,
like, whenever the hot game at the time came into the arcades, like Pac-Man, I remember people went absolutely nuts over that, and it would take a while before you get a chance to even play it because people would be kind of in queue waiting to play, and that's why usually those games are like swarmed by folks. So yeah, you would be talking a lot, and you'd be like hoping that rooting for the person to die on their game so that you get a chance to play it.
Right.
So, yeah, but I remember, Pac-Man was one of those games, that really people were just, like, wanted to line up around the block to play, and, funny was thinking back, and I can still remember the crowds around all that, and then when Dragon's Lair, if you remember that one.
Yes. Dragon's Lair, Space Ace, and...
Yeah,
that was, like, the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it was, like... Well, it was kind of a letdown because it had the cartoon grade graphics, like a actual TV cartoon graphics, but the gameplay was not like a full action gameplay. You almost had to kind of hit the joystick in one of a couple directions to just react to certain timing points during the game to work. It's almost like a joystick driven choose your own adventure kind of game.
Yeah.
You didn't like it wasn't like an action arcade game, if that makes sense. And that was my only letdown with that particular game. But it was awesome. But you can't beat that. That was just fantastic. Yeah. But looks like Sandy Lender is in the chat room, which reminds me we have to get to our sponsors for the evening. But she comments that she chimed in. She may have had an Odyssey too. Tommy thinks that that's what she had in the early '80s and cheapest one available because her family wasn't rolling in dough and going to an arcade was not something she could afford to do or was allowed to do. Yes, a lot of parents were pretty strict about arcades. Yeah, even back then, that was a definite thing with some parents. There was a game with the controller destroyed spaceships. Ships are basically X's on the screen. Big X's, but X's. Not fancy graphics, but I love the game. Yes, that does. And I'm going to be racking my brain to think of that because I know what you're talking about. I am going to have to figure that out, even if I don't by the time the show's over. Sandy, I will figure out which game that was because that does ring a bell. And let's go ahead and recognize our two awesome sponsors tonight. We've got spots for both of them. One of them is the great Sandy Lender. And then our other sponsor for tonight's show is Jumpmaster Press. Of course, with Kyle and Gene and all the great folks at Jumpmaster with their jump card and jump card IDs. And as soon as live events return to the country, those are awesome. Way to market your audiobooks and ebooks at physical events. Yes, that, and I'm not kidding either. Yeah, you check Jumpmaster Press out. But here is a spot from Jumpmaster Press, and then we will do a spot for Sandy. So here we go.
Attention authors, stop sending ebook readers away empty-handed. With the Jump Card ID, sell your books directly without the need for an online retailer. The Jump Card instant download exclusively from Jumpmaster Press could be your ticket to more sales, more readers, and international distribution. Find out more about the Jump Card ID today at www.jumpmasterpress.com.
I always love that spot. That always gets my blood rolling a little bit with the Gene's awesome voice and the good rhythm there. So thank you, Jumpmaster Press. And here we go with the latest spot from Sandy Lender.
Good stories take us beyond ourselves. When you need a diversion from reality, fantasy author Sandy Lender offers a host of enticing worlds and exciting adventures to whisk you away. Follow the author page for Sandy Lender on Amazon to discover new worlds, new creatures, new heroines, and new positive stories. Seek out your favorite today.
And thank you, Sandy Lender. Yeah, you are an incredibly talented writer, and one I definitely can endorse wholeheartedly. So thank you for being a great supporter of the show. And I do want to mention something that Sandy brought to my attention. This might be something that both you, RG, and Tommy, you might want to take part in. It's kind of cool. It's a kind of a little bit of a twist off the NaNoWriMo thing a little bit in a way, but it's called the 3-Day Novella Contest. And Sandy had brought it to my attention because it's coming up in September. So it's something all you authors can do, September 5th to 7th of 2020. And it's a contest where you write a novella in 3 days. So that's definitely a cool challenge. And a novella is actually of the size that you can release. I mean, actually release, that's a releasable size for the market. So, yeah, you will have something you could probably commercially release if you went through that and got one done. But they have a Facebook page. I'm going to give you the URL for that. It's www.facebook.com and then the number 3-day novella. So don't write out the number 3, just the number 3-day novella. So www.facebook.com/3-day novella. And yeah, it's definitely looks like a really cool contest. And something that I will definitely bring this up on the show as we learn more about it, because I think it is something definitely cool for a lot of our listeners to take part in, especially those that like that kind of pressure of the NaNoWriMo environment. This is definitely a pretty cool thing. So hopefully, like I said, we'll get a few folks, and who knows, maybe one of our listeners will win this contest, and then we'll have to have them on the show to talk about it. That would be cool. Pretty cool. But I'm going to really ratchet up the energy here, because our guest is actually on deck and also in the chat room. And she is just, I mean, my God, I mean, when we talk about multi-talented, I mean, and look, yeah, I mean, it's just incredible. I could go on and on about her. She's an author. She's an artist, a game designer, a publisher, an editor, an educator, and just an absolutely fantastic individual person, and now a broadcaster, too. So without further ado, I would like to welcome the one and the only Ren Melian onto the Star Chamber Show. You are live. You are live.
Wow, what an entrance.
Yes.
Good to be back.
Good to have you.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah. Perfect. And awesome. I mean, I'm really looking forward to speaking with you tonight. And I know RG is, and I know Tommy is. So, but how have you been? I mean, you've been as busy as ever. I mean, even during this insane year we've been having.
Yeah. Just flying snakes. I was the one that reposted that. Oh my gosh. It's been interesting. I already worked full time from home, so it wasn't too much of a change. I don't want to say it's been a blessing, because we miss our friends, we miss being able to go out and do stuff. But my husband and I teach K-12 online, and it went through the roof when this hit. So we've been teaching our butts off. I've been getting probably about 20 new students a week. 40 new students a week. And then because I get an influx of students, 20 on Mondays for the Monday-Tuesday class, and then Thursday-Friday I get another 20, so plus tutoring. And then just Issa and I, my daughter and I, have been creating all the things, because we're not having to run for events or run to go do stuff. So it's been kind of nice being at home, but it still sucks at the same time. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like I said, I've been following you, and it's hard to keep up with you as it is. I mean, with all the areas, I mean, if you don't have a Kickstarter campaign, you've got a live stream going on, or you're teaching an online course, or you're working your Patreon page, or you got your your podcast being developed. I mean, there's so many different areas that Elvis makes me tired going through the list of your activity. And I should mention too, yeah, your whole cosplay area, because you also run the Kentucky Brown Coats, and I know that's not been the easiest thing to do with all these live events being postponed and canceled and in the middle of a pandemic, and, you know, keeping the actual active cosplay group kind of connected during the midst of this. I mean, that has to be a challenge, right? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's given us more creative time to sit back and go, okay, we don't have a con coming up for a while. We can actually delve into really what we want to build for cosplay, that kind of thing. But running the group, we were doing board game night once a month in person in Lexington. We were doing bowling once a month, and, you know, all that had to be shut down, plus the cons. So I've had to come up with other ways that we can connect and keep going and support each other virtually. So that's been interesting. I do a Zoom get together once a week, so we do that. And my train job event in October is going to be overhauled slightly. I can't fathom the idea of putting 64 people in a tin can for 2.5 hours in close proximity during a pandemic. So we're going virtual with that, and it's going to be run through the post office, and so it's all snail mail, and it's actually going to be a better opportunity, because I'm going to lower the price a little, and I have a bunch of people that really wanted to participate that couldn't actually physically be there. So that's actually kind of going to work in our favor, but it's definitely been interesting.
No kidding. Absolutely. And yeah, let's
I may be one of those people.
Well, do tell.
I know. Yeah. You need to do the train event.
Yeah, I would love to. Now, as you were talking, I was thinking, well, we could just recreate the Miranda scene from Serenity, where everyone's like sitting in their own cubicle and they're all asleep. That would, you know.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Oh man, that would be awesome.
Well, I've been saying for a while that for Thriller, for the Lexington parade one year, I really, really want to show up with the mule, and I want people to cosplay as Reavers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That would, I have no words. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about for a long time, I was wanting to do the mule and make it on either a golf cart chassis or do it on a car chassis, and then maybe get somebody to not store it, but maybe put it on display so I didn't have to store it. But I came up with the idea, and I'm possibly going to run with it next year. I'm going to wrap my car to look like the mule. I don't have to store it, and it's free advertising for the group. So I'm contemplating and designing and playing with ideas for that.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Tommy, if you can make it up, then you and I can go at least be Reavers, right? We could do that.
Yeah, it could be interesting.
That'd be great.
We can dress our cats up and make them Reaver cats, even though I don't think that, you know, is totally in line with the show.
I actually have new bumper stickers coming that says, "Don't be a Reaver. Wash your Goram hands." So,
all right,
stickers are coming.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Well, yeah. Speaking of your design, I mean, that was one of the cool things. I mean, whenever, like I said, I so miss seeing you in person. I hate this year.
I know.
Because whenever we hang out, you would always be like pulling out cool stuff that you had in the works, from Kickstarter projects to card games, everything. I mean, you always have cool designs and card games, and and things like that. But I know that you that's definitely probably not stopped. I mean, I know you're still up to all that. Tell us about your Kickstarters. To give us some your Kickstarter and card game updates. Tell us about what's up right now with that.
The project I'm working on right now is actually going to be a book for later this year. My maps, I teach an Illustrate Your Own Map for Writers and Gamers class on OutSchool, which is K-12. And I'm working on a board game in conjunction with all this map making I'm doing, and to where it's something. In fact, I was going to beta test it last year at Imaginarium, and I just didn't get a chance to sit and work on it because I was always running somewhere. So now I have time to work on it.
Right.
So that's kind of been a boon for that. But so I'm developing that, and I'm making it so that the DM can play as well, so that it's not just them having to moderate everybody else, but they can actually get involved a little more with the game. So I'm working on that. I'm doing a map book, like I mentioned. I hit 100 maps on May 26th for that class that I go on. And so I've done way more. So I figure I do 2 maps per class, and I'm doing 8 maps per week. 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 maps per week. So since I started I've been cranking out maps, and I've been doing maps when I'm not teaching, which my husband thinks I'm nuts. He's like, are you drawing another map? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, didn't you just spend the last 6 hours doing maps? Yeah. But so I'm taking all of those questions that I'm getting on, how do you draw this? How do I do this? And I'm putting it into a book for later this year. So I have a 9-page zine that they can pull apart and make into a bigger map. So one big map. And that's actually going to be available to everybody. All my patrons are going to get one. So Rebecca will have one.
Yay!
And
yay.
And all my students I've got to go back and contact all of the parents to be able to send them a file for the PDF. So
nice. And you have revamped your Patreon, I believe, to 3 levels. And I mean, you're very, very active with your Patreon side of things. So, what have you done in that as far as what are the levels that you've, designed at this point?
I've got 3 levels that I'm focusing on, my 5, my 10, and my 15, because that's my most active level.
Mm-hmm.
And I have – actually, I have to pull it up and look at it in front of me. Of course, I'm not logged in.
Oh, you're fine. In general, you don't have to give
it.
You don't have to give exactly, but just sound pretty cool.
Yeah, I know.
That you've recently
just trying
reset
to remember
that.
Everything off the top of my head. But I have my snail mail at the $5 level, so everybody gets a piece of one of a kind art plus stickers and stuff. I had a coloring book and a mini zine level. And I kind of lopped those off at whoever I had and didn't increase, so they're still there. They're still getting their benefits, but that level isn't open anymore. And then $10 inch by inch. So I'm doing a collage tutorial, and then they get a print, and then a all hands on deck, which they get one of my decks. Every time I've got a deck coming out, they get one. So
that's awesome.
And I have 3 decks right now.
I might have to upgrade.
I have a Lenormand deck, a Moon Rabbit deck, and Stegs and Serato, which is going to be the next Kickstarter probably. And that's
very cool. Very cool.
Dino deck.
Yeah, well, I know that's been going well, your Patreon side of things. And you've, definitely, as far as subscribing, the world of subscribing goes, I mean, you've been diving into a lot of live streaming, I've noticed recently.
Yeah,
because you live stream art on Twitch on Tuesdays, and then also you do a writing live stream, which I had got to see a little bit about what that was about just the other day. And that's cool. I mean, yeah.
Those both on Twitch?
Yeah, those are both on Twitch.
Okay, cool.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Tuesday nights, I do art, and I've been doing that, working on that map zine, the one that turns into a 9-page big map. And then I started probably 8 months ago. We're in week 34 on my writing, Wordy Wednesday. So I have Taco Tuesday, only it's T-A-L-K-O, so Taco Tuesday for the art, and then Wordy Wednesday is my 10 a.m. Eastern Standard writing, and I normally don't work with that an outline. This is a first for me. I haven't done any kind of outline, so the story is unfolding for both of us, so I don't know what's happening either. I'm just kind of letting my characters run it, and it's developing as I go, but it's working off a collaborative word list.
That is cool. So cool. Hey, we did get a Patreon question for you from Sandy in the chat room, and she wanted to know. This is a good question for a lot of creatives out there. How you encourage people to find your Patreon? How do you advertise that you have a Patreon channel for folks to contribute to without giving that begging vibe online? And you know what I mean about when I say that.
Yeah.
She said she needed some tips to think on. And also, she also just asked now, she also wanted to ask you, what map drawing program do you recommend? So I guess this is a two-part question. One, finding your Patreon, and then the software.
Encarta and stuff. I stay away from the map drawing programs only because I feel like I'm using somebody else's art to create my own. And they tend to look cookie cutter after a while. They're great for a jumping off point if you're interested in developing and laying out your map so that you can visualize something for a story maybe. Or if you're an illustrator and you want a quick way to kind of propagate a map and then go in and just draw it yourself, but you've got it planned out. I have a couple of kids that have used it before, but my drawing class is specifically an analog drawing class. So it's pencil and paper. Now when they first came out, it was awesome, but then everybody started using it and it's like, oh, they came out with another map. No, that's somebody else, but it looks the same. You know, it's just, you don't have that individuality you do when you hand draw it. As far as the begging, that actually, you know, I kind of changed my perspective on it when I found a book by Amanda Palmer called The Art of Asking. And I had actually seen the TED Talk that she did first. Now, Amanda Palmer is Neil Gaiman's wife. So I kind of found her through him, and I'm not a big sales pitch person. I did that with, you know, growing up with retail and doing sales stuff for tech support company and a couple of other things, and, you know, just nope, not doing it. I don't even like selling my own stuff a lot of times. I'm big on supporting other artists, supporting other creatives. You want to stay away from the word help. Support is a better word for that. And you're asking people basically to subscribe to what you do and to support you as a creative, to support your, you know, money doesn't buy freedom, money doesn't buy happiness, but it buys the freedom to create happiness. So having that Patreon actually you know, it takes care of my Adobe Creative Cloud that I don't have to worry about. It takes care of my subscription that, you know, they have a monopoly on it now that you have to subscribe to stay updated. So that was a worry for a little while. You know, so now that my lovely Patreon patrons help me or support me by, I still need help sometimes, support me by subscribing to my work, I can provide value for them and build a deeper connection, build community. And I think that's the big thing is just, you know, supporting community, subscribing, and I just do what I do. I'm a, I'm a, you know, motor mouth, I'm a chatty Cathy, and I'm like, you know, I just really am passionate about what I do. You've heard me talk incessantly, and it's just I don't do, you know, come here and buy this. I don't do, you know, hey, you want to watch how I do this? Can I help you learn how to do this? Can I, you know, I'm trying to get the help out of my vocabulary. Can I help, can I support your desire to learn how to do this better? Or can I support you in, you know, by helping you brainstorm? Or can I support you by, you know, my time has the value, but I'm not, I have a love-hate relationship with money. I don't want that to hinder somebody from me being able to support them in something that I can advise them with. I still want to use the word help, but basically help them with. And, you know, so I'm when I was taking clients, I was, you know, tell me what you can afford. This is what I can do. Here's a payment plan, which that just makes passive income for me. But, you know, wanting to support others, and I'm very much a lift as you climb kind of person. So, you know, just focusing on building community and you know, come watch me do stuff. So it's the same thing with my grit.
Well, of all creatives, I mean, I think you're the one that can actually use the, but wait, there's more. But all the areas that you're involved in and all the activities, I mean, my God, yeah, but wait, there's more.
I really do mean it when I say I do all the things.
You really do. It's crazy.
I don't know. Forever taking workshops on stuff, even if it's something I could teach, I will take workshops because I want to see somebody else's perspective, which just inspires me more. Like right now, oh my gosh, I have become a online workshop and Kickstarter slut. I'm just like, courses? There's a course? Somebody's teaching a course? Okay, you know, throw the ball. So I've been taking courses on, right now I'm taking one on, there's a guy that actually designs the infographic maps for National Geographic, which I ate those up as a kid. He's on Domestika, which I found earlier this year. Don't ask me how many classes I have with them. They always have stuff on sale, and I'm like, okay, yeah. $10 here, okay. You know, but I'm taking a class with him because for my one book, Odonasha, that I'm working on, that I've been working on this project for literally 19 years because I started when I was pregnant with Issa, for a book and a game. And I want to be able to do an infographic for the island that's in the book. So I was like, he's in a class. Okay, I got to do it. So, you know, I'm constantly learning new skills, which just makes it so that I can teach how to do something else because I'll put my own spin on it and my own, you know, kind of flavor on it. And it just enhances what I'm teaching the kids on OutSchool too. So, but yeah,
well,
always into something.
Was that Archie?
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I have a question in regards to, because it seems like whenever I go online looking for something on how to create, because like we have this concept for a deck of cards, and I can write a book all day long, I can homeschool, I can this, I can that, but how do you design a deck of cards and get it printed and make it available?
Basically, you would just find your company that makes them and then download their templates.
Okay, so there are templates.
And then design it on the template, upload it, and you're good to go.
That's
and then
awesome.
Just beta test it. Order a copy and beta test it.
Just Google, playing card template and something like that?
So what?
Do you just search for, playing card template? What would you search for?
The one I use is makeplayingcards.com.
Oh.
And there's a couple others that I've gotten from Kickstarter that I want to say it's playingcards.net. Let me look it up.
Okay.
But I know they're, playingcards.net is one.
Okay.
But I've had good luck with makeplayingcards.net. .com, which
I'll have
is
to check that
doing
out.
My cards.
Yeah.
But I can send you the
link
for
that. Everything that you're doing, and I was like, when do you sleep? And I mean, it's inspiring because, we have literally, those of us who, I think we have a similar home structure in that we're both working at home. We have all this time, quote unquote. Have you found that your time availability is different now?
I've prioritized self-care more.
Okay.
And I'm gardening more, which is kind of a self-care thing for our family because I'm growing microgreens and tomatoes and lunchbox peppers and edible stuff.
Nice. Understandable, certainly.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm the plant mama. My daughter's definitely our kitchen witch, but she calls me the green witch because she's like, you're always talking to the plant.
That's awesome.
So, and I'm like, you need to make me into a D&D character or something because she's been running a D&D campaign and participating in another one on Zoom. So D&D's been our conversations as of late. You need to make me a D&D NPC where this old crone with all these plants and she's talking to them constantly. And then you don't want to offend the plants because then she gets mad. We've always been really, really grateful for everything that's been put in our path. But having this, I don't want to say new normal, actually, it is a new normal, but it's one that I'm creating because I'm getting more back into more routine. The board games have been dusted off. We're reading more, not that we weren't before. Half our house is books. And I think it's just, it's a matter of prioritizing more than availability. Because I with my daughter, I've homeschooled her since she was 3. She graduated high school, and we're working on college stuff because I've got a master's degree in screenwriting, and I know how to do Patreon. I know how to do all the Adobe stuff. So she's, getting the college education without the school loans, which is nice. But it's
economical.
Yeah. I mean, just being able to, and she's learning stuff from me that she won't learn in school. I mean, she's been helping me teach kids and adults since she was 6. So she's always been embroiled in the art scene. Oh my gosh, Stephen, you guys need to see the art that she's working on now.
Well, I've seen her work. Yeah, I can vouch. She's phenomenal.
I don't think you've seen the new stuff. She's constantly evolving.
Probably not new stuff, but the last stuff you showed me was pretty mind-blowing, though. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, she's doing a Greek goddess series, and she's got one print done, watercolored and finished, that's a Medusa that's turning into stone with the snake hair and everything. Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. So, see, I have my live-in muses between her and Val.
That is cool. That is cool. Well, what are you up to? You mentioned that you have been reading more, and I know that you've also also have writing going on too. What are you reading and writing these days? Both sides.
Well, I've got the Twitch story that I'm doing that originally was supposed to be a challenge to myself to learn to write short. I wanted to learn to write flash fiction because I tend to be long-winded. Who'd have guessed? So novel-length fiction's kind of my jam, but I have a couple of friends that actually write short story pieces that are like one page. I would love to do a complete story in one page and publish an anthology. So that's one of my goals. So I set up Twitch originally to be able to do flash fiction. And what do I do the first time? I write a chapter. So 34 weeks into it, 24 chapters into it, I've got 34 weeks worth of word list. Because what I do is it's based on an old writer's group thing that I used to do where people would contribute 3 to 5 words, and you had to use the words in the tense that they are provided. So it makes you really formulate your sentences. And it's a vocabulary builder. And so I posted on my Discord, so anybody who wants to play along can. They can do either a chapter or flash fiction. So I've been writing that, and I haven't been using an outline. So it's very organic, very story move consciousness. And that's actually how I wrote the 3 books that I have on Amazon, is woke up, couldn't go back to sleep, and just spewed out a book, basically, because it was very stream of conscious, not, you know, what came into my head, very intuitive part of the process without doing an outline.
It functions that as a writing exercise.
I mean, it's a great exercise. It's one of our favorite exercises that we used to do, and we used to meet up at our house once a week or every other week, depending on schedules, and I miss that social part of it. And once this, whenever this decides to end, I want to do something like that again and actually have a, you know, get together and do another writer's group. But as far as what I've been reading, I've been picking up books that are either furthering the skills that I have now or research material. One of which I have in front of me that came in today that I am absolutely enthralled with is, it's called The Sea Journal, and it is seafarers' sketchbooks. So it's literally all these explorers like Henry Mayen, John Cook, and it's all these like botanical illustrations and all their handwriting, and, you know, it's just, you know, from me writing the histories and everything on Odinasha, it's tremendous. It's amazing. And seeing all this, like, really old vintage paper, all torn and everything with these, you know, hand-scrawled notes and ship schematics, and, you know, so I'm just eating it up. I really, really am having a good time with it. What else have I got here? I picked up a bunch of children's books too. Children's books always inspire me, and I kind of collect them. And I have a shelf near my desk that I keep. Just there's several illustrators that I found recently, including Sean Tan. His last name's T-A-N, first name S-H-A-U-N. And gorgeous work, very eclectic, very unique, And I think I've picked up 2 or 3 books of his in the last week since I found him. And
very cool.
He's just really, his style kind of reminds me of mine a little bit. So I can connect on some levels, but he's just fun and quirky and very contemplative, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Very kind of high art children's book.
Are
very
you familiar?
Cool.
Am I what?
Are you familiar with, you probably are, are you familiar with the Lady Coddington Express Story album?
Oh, yeah. I actually wanted to get one of the Lady Coddington Press Fairies as a tattoo on the back of my thigh, so it looks like a sat on her.
Like a
I'm like, no, I'm not going to go that far, but yeah, I'm very familiar with those.
I love it. Yeah, no, that kind of reminded me of the scrawled handwriting and the, you know, the kind of off-concept artwork.
Yeah. Yeah, those books are really cool. Spiderwick, Tony Dieterlizzi's Spiderwick Chronicles, and the books that he's come out with, like the not Monster Manual, but like the Sprite Guide and some of the other stuff,
okay,
is just amazing, amazing, amazing,
yeah,
stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, one of the I guess one thing I wanted to I guess bring up in terms of your podcasting is you have down the rabbit hole, and you are in the process of restarting it. And what's happening with
learning
you in the
curve.
Podcast front right now?
Yeah, learning curve. I actually have a couple of interviews already recorded for it, and so it's just a matter of, you know, getting some. I've got one last client project that I'm working on. A book and deck, and as soon as that is off my plate, I'm going to be diving in head first, but I want to make sure that I've got the, you know, the time set aside and dedicated to it and get back on that kind of a routine. Because for me, I actually, during my misdiagnosis, I was put on, because I have systemic primary lymphedema. My lymphatic system shut down during my pregnancy. Those of you who know me have already heard the story, but I'm not going to go into a big, long thing about it. But part of it was somebody had put me on prednisone, and it almost killed me. And I lost my memory, ended up with mild neurologic damage. So I actually have to concentrate all the time to not slur my words, which is why I'll pause sometimes. And I also have problems with, you know, if I don't say it, I'll forget it. But doing the podcast, I have to script it. But I've been able to make it sound like it's not scripted. So that's a good thing. So I've had people tell me that they had no idea that I scripted it. So it's like, okay, good.
That is a skill,
but,
for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a skill.
You know, I have to read it, and it's still, for me, it's very much a more of a conversation, or I imagine me having a conversation with somebody versus me talking at somebody. But I think I have a little bit of that vibe in there, and I hope that that comes across. But, you know, talking about, I'm into so many different things, and we have such a eclectic creative life that all of it kind of feeds in to one direction for me. And I know I joke about the, you know, doing all the things. I do all the things, but like my surface pattern design, I can focus on one surface pattern and it creates multiple avenues. So just focusing on that one design creates multiple things. Instead of me doing multiple things for different venues, you know, doing the podcast is added value for my Patreon people or for my Twitch people, or I kind of try to create things that I'm not creating necessarily more work for myself, but I'm creating something that can be used in multiple ways. So to me, it's just a way to kind of like a living essay on all of my loves, like writing and game design and the books I'm reading, the music I'm listening to, because music is a huge thing for us. You know, postage stamps, I mean, whatever we're interested in, you know, that I can talk about. Right now, I think my biggest focus is going to be, you know, how do you live at home in isolation till the point where the introvert even wants to people, you know? So it's kind of like, okay, well, the introverted side is now totally extrovert because I don't have to worry about people because I'm not out of my home.
Right.
So, but it's that, you know, creative coping mechanism.
That's cool. And you did bring up music. That was actually one of my next areas I want to cover with you. And I know Tommy is definitely could dive in on this one, being a musician himself. What is going on the latest with you in the music side of things?
Oh, well, I live on Spotify because I was able to get a family account so all three of us can get on there. And we're big into, like, world music as far as, you know, being able to discover new stuff. And originally we were part of the founding members kind of for Pandora when it came out. And I liked the ability to just zoom around from one thing to another and have it play similar things, because we were finding music we would have never found, just really obscure stuff. And for me and for Val, and actually for Issa too, all three of us, we all write. She's working on D&D campaigns, so that, you know, having that, you know, ambient music and other things to listen to while she's writing and creating, and you know, it's very white noise, zen out, inspire the creative. Like when I'm writing, I'll put a note in the margin, or I'll put a note in my writing what I'm listening to at the time, so that when I go back to edit or revise, I can put that music on again and get back in that same mindset. So that's always been a big thing for me, is to be able to, you know, kind of rekindle the muse. And I was doing a Norse piece at one point, so I dove headfirst into a lot of the music that was coming out of, like, the Netherlands and Norway and Sweden, and, you know, so I've got this whole group of stuff that, you know, Viking related, or Norwegian, and
very cool.
A lot of names that I can't pronounce. Fawn, Wardruna, Forndom, Ivor is really good, E-I-V-O-R, Sigrid, there's a ton of them. I've got my writing playlist, I think, shared on my Renmelian site, and I try to talk about it when I post my newsletter, which I am doing another one this weekend. I kind of stepped away from it because I wanted to have something to say that didn't sound sales pitchy and didn't sound, you know, I had to kind of formulate what I was going to write about. I wanted it to be of something of value, and I haven't written on it for a little while, so I finally have some things I want to say, so I'm going to post it to my newsletter this weekend. So now will be a good time to subscribe. You're going to get new stuff.
Very cool.
But I'm big on, you know, here's some ideas. Here's some things I found that were really cool. Here's the books I'm reading. Here's the music I'm listening to. You know, here's something new I learned about myself and my process. Here's something I learned about how I'm coping, you know, here's a new coping mechanism, or here's a new healthy way to look at this, or here's a, you know, stuff pandemic wise, unless they, you know, unless they, I got a t-shirt that says, unless, until they release a safer, more stable version of Outdoors 2.0, I'm going to be inside my blanket fort. So, I'm going to be in my blanket, I'll be in my blanket fort coloring, something like that. I can't remember what That's I put awesome. On it now, but, just finding ways that I can help other people, because it always comes around to me, and I've never been, you know, I don't ever want to sound like I'm being self-serving or anything like that. I'm just, I really want to provide value with that. And I know I get passionate uh-huh. about stuff, and it sounds like I'm, you know, oh, come do this, oh, come do, you know, it's not a sales pitch. It's just, I really am that, you know, big dog throw the ball kind of thing.
Well, I know Tommy knows how to provide great value, because he sells furniture that comes with cats pre-installed. So that's definitely an advantage.
Yeah, yeah, once upon a time, you know, that could turn into something else, but yeah. Well,
that's
first
yeah, that's an example. Added value for sure. but Tommy, is there anything you wanted to cover? Because I know we covered a lot of topics here, and you haven't gotten to dive in with any questions yet. Is there anything you want to cover with Renmelian at this juncture?
Well, I remember back talking about the Patreon and all that, and it sounds like you have quite a skill set, you know, quite a varied one. And so I could see, you know, others sort of along the lines of Sandy's question, you know, from earlier, getting people to contribute. Well, really, I mean, it's you're contributing as well, so it's more of an exchange, and you have quite mm-hmm. a bit to offer, you know. You've ran along quite a few different topics, you know, of different, so I don't really see what shouldn't be much of a problem for you, actually. You seem to have quite a bit to offer.
I haven't, like, I'm definitely not at the level that some people I've seen have, like, thousands of patrons, and I'm not at that level. but I don't really look at it as, I think I have a different mindset on it, maybe, than most. I don't know. I'm big about the community. I'm not big on the sales pitch. And I'm just there to share my process and offer a behind the scenes. And it gives me a reason, because I used to, growing up, I was always giving away my artwork. And I know somebody along the line was like, you know, you need to start charging money for this. And it's like, but I like giving it away. So this doesn't make me feel like I'm selling it. It makes me feel like I get to send out care packages now, you know, kind of thing. and so it's very freeing looking at it like that. And just, one of the things that I've learned from somebody I know, Lila Rogers, she's an art agent. Her thing is people buy your joy. And that fit for me, that resonated for me so much, because I end up drawing people in when I get excited about my stuff and sharing my process and sharing my mindset, because I'm an ADD creative hot mess, so I have, you know, brain tips and tricks built into it. In fact, the three books that I have on Amazon are literally about, here's how I work around my brain, because my brain is wired differently being ADD, and that's a constant battle, especially now. That actually, my ADD has been off the charts since you know, the self-isolation thing started.
Right.
And
right.
I still have social interaction online and through Zoom and through teaching and everything, but I don't have we go out for groceries and to pick up the mail. We literally don't go anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my health issues, I don't go on walks. My husband and my daughter do, but that's not something I get to do really. So, you know, it'll bring me to tears walking out to the car, feeling a breeze on my face. It's, you know, it does affect me. Because I'm very much the outdoors person. I like being outside, and I've started scheduling days off, like my Wednesdays are my day off now for classes, because otherwise I, number one, don't have a voice for the rest of the week because I'm talking constantly with all the kids, and we have a lot of fun. So I'm just a big kid in there teaching the kids. I enjoy what I do. I'm grateful for what I get to do, and I like sharing my process and letting people in. And if they need some kind of support, that allows me to offer that to them and use those platforms. And in return, it just kind of comes back to me. So, you know, I don't have 100 followers. That's fine. I will focus on my 13 subscribers, and they just get more love because I can do more handmade stuff for them because I can at 13 versus if I have 100, I might not be able to personalize everything.
Right.
But.
Mhm. We still got you there?
Yeah. I think it's
okay. Okay.
Mindset.
Oh, like quiet.
How
for
I
second.
Approach it. Yeah. It's like,
didn't
want to
make sure
up,
we didn't interrupt your thought. No. No. I just didn't want to interrupt your thoughts there.
My monologue.
No, it's good stuff. And yeah, definitely, as Sandy just had commented there, I mean, just a great amount of info and insights you've been sharing with us tonight. So, but yeah, I would also, I know there's not a lot of vet kind of stuff going on right now, but you, in chatting with you before the show, you'd mentioned that there is a CSTS auction coming up in July.
Yeah.
And and I guess you scored something in June and you're donating something in July. So that sounds interesting. So event wise, because that's I'd like to find out more about that.
Yeah, CSTS is the governing body that handles all of the licensing for the Serenity screenings for the Firefly fandom. So I ended up earlier this year, I am now part of the global steering committee that runs it. And because of the fact that we don't have any movie events going on right now, you know, all these groups worldwide are having to find other ways to connect and raise money. The CSTS events, 100% of the donation goes to Equality Now, which fights against human trafficking and supports rights for women and girls all over the world, here in the United States and Kentucky. So it's very, especially me, you know, as a woman and as a mom of another girl. So it's, you know, that's important to us. And being able to do that was one of the things that I loved about the Brown Coats early on. Is one of my first major events was showing Serenity at the Kentucky Theater in Lexington. So we can't do that this year. And so CSTS, we have been doing an auction, and I did the one in June and got in on some patches that my friend William designed I've got some new patches to sport, and I finally found a brown coat, so I'm going to be sewing patches on here in a few weeks. one of the things that was donated was William Batts, Will Batts, who was the set designer for Firefly and for Serenity, did donated a blueprint of Mal's bunk from the ship. And not leaving without it. I was like, I know a couple of people hated me, but I was not leaving without it. I was the one in the back of the room with my hand held up the whole time. I was not leaving. Just like, I can make up with this. I can make this up in a week or two. I don't care. Yep. I'm doing it. It's for a good cause. So I won it. And because of the amount that I got to donate for it, he actually sent me 4 more blueprints, all signed, of set from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice.
Because that was also a Joss Whedon production that he worked on. So
nice.
I scored some patches and I scored my blueprints. And having been an architectural design major in my previous life, I eat blueprints and maps up. So it was right up my alley. And I had done some work as a roadie for several summers. And I have a big appreciation for what goes on behind the scenes. It's like, yes, the cast is great. The cast is embodying and making this come to life. But that crew, if that crew is not there, they're the ones doing the set design and doing the, you know, the other stuff. And there, to me, is just as important. So the fact that I appreciated, you know, it wasn't signed by cast, it was signed by crew members, you know, by the set designer and by the couple of the other guys. And it was just, I guess they were kind of wowed that I would want it because it wasn't cast signed. Like, I don't care, you guys need this. This is cool, you know.
Yeah.
So
that is awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. So July, we have a couple. We have a Q&A with a guest, and I am pulling their name up right now. But we have another auction in July that we'll be doing. And I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm going to be donating my prototype deck for Stegs and Serato and some sticker bunches of stickers.
Cool.
And it is for this next one. I will have to link the information because I know his first name is Skip, and I'm trying to remember what exactly his role was with Firefly. So I'll have to link that, but they're doing a Q&A event with that, and then they're going to do the auction. And there's a lot of, it's gearing up. People are really getting into this whole auction thing, and we're doing it through Discord. So I'm going to do something probably with Renmillion even at some point and do an auction, because I have some original art pieces and some prints and some other stuff, and it's just a way for me to, you know, facilitate giving back. Mm-hmm. So I am big on doing, in fact, the decks that I design were made for little hands, and they're supposed to be gifted to children's hospitals. Because I know I've spent more than my share of time in and out of the hospital, and cards. I grew up playing cards with my grandparents and my mom after dinner every night. So being able to design my own deck and have, you know, that kind of sanity that it brought me in the hospital, you know, to these kids that are stuck in the hospital with cancer and other diseases. So, you know, being able to make something to benefit them, I want to donate the decks to the hospitals. I had another group that thought it would be great to do the larger decks for nursing homes. So there's a bunch of different things I'm doing with that, but being able to, I've always got kind of a charity angle to what I do. Because I like being able to just randomly do stuff like that. But I'll post more information about the July event. I'll get them to send that to me.
How does the auction work? I'm just curious. Does it work like a like an eBay auction, or how does the actual auction, take when it takes place? What's the system like?
Well, what we do is we post, and I'm actually not the one that runs it. The guys are the ones that run it, William and Charlie. And what they do is they post a list of the items with a description and a photo or photos of the item. You get a list in the first part of the Discord that's pinned to it, so it's always there. And then one by one, you post the photo, and then people just start putting it in mounts.
Oh, cool.
And it
okay,
just goes
so
back
yeah,
and forth.
Just like that. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious as to the
fun.
System with that.
And I'm a sucker for auctions anyway.
I just get depressed because inevitably I'm wanting something that everybody else wants and I'm always outbid early. So it's, but I'll have to try on one of these. definitely.
Well, it's definitely, I've been in auctions like that where it's like, oh, darn it, I got outbid by $3, you know, or something like that, or somebody's faster on the draw than I am. The real auctions are really hard to track because we used to go to Janet's auctions here on Saturday night on Richmond Road between Richmond and Berea. And because they had all sorts of unusual stuff. I picked up one of my typewriters over there. But you've got to verbally, it's hard to keep track of. So having it on the screen is way easier because you can see the money coming through and, you can see the text. So it's a lot easier to track. But, I think the idea that you're in there, not necessarily to purchase something, you're in there to donate, to see how much you can raise, how much you can fundraise, helps a little, but yeah, it's definitely, I know there's going to be some things that are going to be like, darn it, I can't warrant spending $200 on that. that kind of thing. But
yeah, it was like the last time I attended a Christie's auction and they had a copy of Tommy B. Smith's Mortar's Cradle written on parchment. And that, yeah, I was like, oh man. Yeah, because couldn't keep up with the bidding on that one.
I can't even look at their, well, I do look at their sites, but I can't even look at their sites. Yeah. I actually had them work into...
I adjust a little bit there, though.
Odonasha.
But who knows? Maybe Tommy will have a handwritten copy of his novel, Mortar's Cradle, on parchment, and it will be auctioned at Christie's. Maybe I saw the future just now. I don't know.
I can make it.
It's not.
I can make it.
No, see? It's not impossible.
I keep finding I can make
it. A millionaire.
Yeah. With medieval style illumination on it. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hey, I was in a medieval reenactment group for 15 years. I know how to do it.
Yep.
I know how to do the whole grind your own pigments and.
Doesn't surprise me with you.
I'm crazy.
But
like
wait,
that.
There's
now,
more.
The supplies on me
no,
currently,
wait.
Probably not, but regular bookbinding I can do. Yeah, I'm pretty much, if I can get supplies to it, I can do it or I can figure it out. You know, I'm big on reverse engineering stuff. I've always been like that. My daughter's the same way. And I remember people used to think I was crazy. And I was like, why is this crazy? And then I see my daughter do it. And I'm like, okay, yep, I get it. It's crazy. Because she'll awe me all the time with the stuff that she comes up with. And I'm like, how did you think it is? She's like, daughter. I was like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Because I taught her how to reverse engineer stuff. So, yeah.
No, it's nothing surprises me when it comes to your household. That's for sure. It's a talented bunch, but
I'm seriously, seriously blessed. Val's writing and Issa's writing, and Issa's just off the chain. She calls herself an original remix when somebody tells her that she's a mini me. Because we do a lot of similar stuff, so.
Well, yeah, you all are definitely in the same similar spheres, but yeah, I think you each have a very unique style about each of you, all three of you.
Oh yeah,
it's
very
cool to observe.
So.
I'm privileged to be able to have witnessed it in person. the world, your whole world, but. That's what I'm missing badly right now is this exile that I feel 2020 feels like. But it's,
Yeah,
I can't wait till we all get to regroup maybe in 2025 or whenever it will happen. But I hope
on a giant floating man-made ship, and I'll have my.
Yep.
Bottle of dirt, and it'll be water world.
All wearing plastic skin suits.
Yeah, I may have to talk to Elon Musk and see if he can help us out. I'll see if he can come up with something.
A lot of the stuff that we've seen in movies growing up, and that we've seen, read in books, and it's like, dude, we're there.
I know that's bothering me immensely.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot.
I know,
but it's man. But hey, we all got to keep forging onward no matter what. And certainly there's been times in all across history that have definitely not been pleasant. inspired by many historical time periods, and there's definitely been some very unpleasant periods in history. And yeah, we can get through this. Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
But it is a unique time. Yeah.
Well, we're not
watching
history on the History Channel. We're living history, so
That's true.
Someday someone else may be watching us on the History Channel. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Boy, that's gonna be a weird show.
Right.
It's kind of like Josh Gates exploring, Destination Truth 2020. He's just like, nope, can't even.
Right.
Not doing it. We're skipping that one. There was a meme going around that it was like children learning about 2020 in school, and it has this kid in like absolute tears. Yeah. Studying for exams on 2020 in history class.
Yeah. My kids are already practicing their like grandma and grandpa speeches for when they're old, and they're like, back in my day, like they're already coming up. I'm like, this is wow.
Literary gold. In the great toilet paper shortage of 2020.
White gold,
flying
that's right,
snakes.
White gold.
We had to mix our
flying snakes and bears. Murder hornets.
Right.
It was real,
murder hornets,
tell you.
Flying snakes. Yes, no toilet paper.
Well, see, the more crazy stuff that happens, the more it will influence my development of the story behind what Tommy B. Smith's life really is like. And that's going to be my magnum opus. down in Fort Smith, which, of course, was, as we all know, they named after him. But I am working on that. And it's going to be definitely cross-genre. It's going to have everything. Science fiction, horror, paranormal, thriller elements, mystery. I mean, it's going to be a tour de force of activity.
Well,
there
will definitely be a lot of horror and mystery. I'll give you that much.
I want to help you write the outline for that one.
There will be cats, too, Tommy. Don't worry. There will be cats.
Oh,
I promise.
Yeah.
But, that's my latest percolation in 2020. But, yeah. But no, seriously though, it's a, yeah, it's definitely a strange year for sure. But you've, I mean, I think it's good for folks to hear you, Renmalian, because you've taken a what's truly a lemons, a year of lemons, and turned it into lemonade. I mean, you've really found ways to make things work, and through, you know, what technology we do have, which is a blessing. I mean, live streaming, yeah, video, Zoom, Twitch, you know, Kickstarter. I mean, you've used all these online tools in a very effective way as a creative, and that is something I hope gets across to the listeners tonight, is that, yeah, you didn't just grind to a halt. You found ways, mm-hmm, to make things work, even if you couldn't go out there in person to events physically. You know, you found a path through, and I think that's the theme of tonight that I hope people get.
Yeah, I think finding a silver lining is kind of a choice, because there's, even if it's the smallest, most minute, absolute stupidest thing in the world, I can, mm-hmm, find some kind of plus on it and just move forward. And I really only know forward, and I think a lot of that has to do with the lymphedema, because I've had to move forward. I have to get out of bed in the morning even when I don't want to, because I'm a mom, or I have to get out of bed because I'm teaching, and I set things up like that so that I'm active. And I think action is really what helps the depression, is, you know, being able to still do something, still create, still reach out. You know, without the internet, I'd just find another way. But it's, you know, there's always some kind of a choice. Might not be the one you want to make, but, mm-hmm, I can't do anything about the pandemic. All I can control is me and how I respond to it. And me worrying and being, you know, fearful all the time. Does it scare the crap out of me? Yeah. Because I get sick, it'll probably do me in. But I can't live my life worrying about that constantly. Am I going to wear my mask and wash my hands? Yes.
Yes.
Did everybody else? Yes. But although I have a friend of mine that I feel really bad for, because she gets actual panic attacks. She cannot wear the mask. And so I feel, mm-hmm, really, really bad for her. So I told her, I said, anytime I'm ranting about the no mask thing, not wearing a mask, it's not, you're the exemption. Don't get mad at me because I'm ranting on it. It's not geared towards you, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I mean, the lymphedema, you know, I could drop over tomorrow. You know, something could, I had a pulmonary embolism for a year and a half, and I don't think God was done with me yet, because anybody else, I think, would have been, like, done for. I've been through more than most and less than some, and I keep plugging away at it. That's all I can do. That's all I know how to do. And just drag everybody along with me, so...
Well, we're glad to be dragged along with you, because it's quite an adventure, and I'm certainly grateful, because, yeah, you definitely, I mean, people, I wish they could, yeah, like I said, those who are listening to that, you really have to get to know Renmalian. She is definitely inspiring and fun person to interact with, and I think you've gotten a sense of that tonight, and which is good, because, like I said, you technically, you're kicking off my birthday tonight, so it's what a cool night.
I know. I wish we could be here at midnight.
At midnight it begins, and everybody that's listening tonight, you have a dispensation from me to do whatever you want tomorrow and blame it on me. So you're celebrating my birthday.
I gotta teach classes tomorrow. I got to teach classes tomorrow. That's not going to work.
No.
Steven says we're drawing pirate ships today.
Right. Something fun like that.
Lots of rum.
Lots of rum, lots of cannons, and fun. Yes.
I'll draw a sunken pirate ship for you tomorrow.
Yeah. Tommy, I'll wait to hear what he does, because it's usually something really outlandish and creative. So, and yes, you too, RG. I know you keep a pretty good routine, but you can also break routine tomorrow. Have fun.
I'll do that.
Oh man. So before our show is done, though, I do want to make sure that our listeners get a chance to connect with you. So, like I said, with your many worlds that you have, Patreon and all your activity, what are the best ways to find you online and connect with your activity?
I am literally Renillion on everything. So if you put in Google, OutSchool, Renillion. Amazon, Renillion, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch. It's all Renillion. So Twitch is Renillion.live, which is pretty easy to remember. Renillion.com is kind of my, portal to all the things. So it has links to my social and everything on there. Some of my projects, I've got my classes listed on there too. Patreon, if you want to, even if you just want to follow me, I'm grateful. I'm totally grateful to just be able to, share behind the scenes stuff. And, if you want to subscribe, jump in and I'll send you snail mail, free art. And I've gotten some really cool stuff to kind of up the ante on my snail mail stuff. I got an embosser that does my logo, and I've got more art supplies in recently. So I'm going to have out more stickers. I got more stickers in today too, for the brown coats too. And, so let me mail you some goodies. You want to learn how to do something, jump in on one of the polls, and I'm happy to do a workshop online, get everybody into Zoom and we can do watercolors or mixed media collage or book binding or, whatever you guys want to learn. I'm happy to jump in and teach. So, but yeah, Renmillion, everything if you put in Renmillion in Google, everything that comes up is me. So.
And that is Renmillion, Renmillion, Renmillion. Yes.
Right.
Just want to make sure you spell it right, folks. Because you've
Chameleon.
Yes, you've got to follow her. She is amazing, and you will discover what I have discovered. I promise you. So, but is there anything else that we have not covered tonight? Because I think we've covered a lot of your extensive sphere of activity, but is there anything that we by chance overlooked tonight that you were wanting to cover?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I've got links
from
Renmillion.com.
We did good.
To the brown coats. So KentuckyBrownCoats.com or KY Brown Coats on everything else, but I'll have information on train job coming up for that. So I'm going to limit it to 64, which is what the passenger count would have been if we were on the train. And I am doing, people will receive packages in the mail, kind of a mystery box kind of thing. Escape room in a envelope. I've gotten supplies for that, and I use real typewriters, and I do bookbinding, and
nice.
So there's lots of goodies coming. So train job, if any events this year that you want to do, jump in on that one. So I'll be posting that about Renmillion and for a train job, but I'll do behind the scenes to my Patreon people. The Brown Coats also have a Patreon, which is KY Brown Coats.
Well, my man Tommy and I will have to talk after
day,
the show. Yeah, my man Tommy and I'll have to talk on the after the show. But we'll have to plot and plan to maybe be Reavers for you at that next Thrillers event. that you were talking
that
about.
Cool. Definitely not this year. I can't imagine.
Yeah, may not happen this year.
In social distancing form would be weird.
Right.
You have to wait half an hour until the next float goes by.
Right. but yeah, that's fantastic, fantastic. So Tommy and Rebecca, is there anything you want to cover with Vermillion before we round this show out?
I mean, I could pick her brain for hours, honestly.
You can if you want.
It's really inspiring.
Stop
to hear everything that we do. Yeah, I probably will. But no, we covered so much. It's so exciting to hear everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as she says, we could go on for hours. So, you know, we could do this again another day.
Okay, I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Then
seems to be quite a
tomorrow night. We'll just do an
individual. So
we'll do a special encore show tomorrow night.
There we go.
Just kidding. just on my birthday. No, just kidding, folks. No, we're not putting you on the spot, Tommy and RG. I promise. But thank you. Yeah, you've been awesome as always, and definitely want to have you on again sooner than later. And but yeah, definitely.
Hopefully for a book launch or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got stuff launching constantly. I mean, it's like every week you have something launching. I mean, like I said, but wait, there's more. That's your theme. I swear, that's your theme. No one else that I know can truly say that on like a week to week basis. But wait, there's more. but keep up the great work.
Never get
like
boring.
I said, you are an inspiration, and you are a wonderful person, the kind that folks can definitely root for and support. And I hope that some folks listening tonight will definitely come aboard with you and Patreon and everything else, because yeah, you're definitely one of the creatives that deserves to be supported. So yeah, you do give back.
Aww.
and support others wonderfully, and I can attest to that personally. So, but thank you so much. Thank you so much. And
love you guys.
But I will let you give one last message tonight, but I will sign out first, and then Vermillion, go ahead and say whatever you'd like as a final statement, and then Tommy and RG, you two take us out for tonight. But yeah, this is Steven signing off, and of course every Wednesday, Star Chamber Show live podcast. Love to spotlight creatives and share the creative world with you every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Take care, everyone, and when I see you or hear you again and speak with you again, I will be 629 years old next week. So take care, everyone.
Thanks, everybody, for stopping by the Star Chamber and joining in with us. And stay safe, stay well, wear your mask, wash your damn hands, check out the KentuckyBrownCoats.com and Vermillion.com. And I will talk to you soon.
Awesome. All right, everyone, have a good night. Thanks for joining us. We will see you again. Until that time, until the next.
That was me. Thank you so much for having me on tonight and let me join this little party. Happy birthday, Steven. And everyone, have a wonderful night. Thank you.